Testing, testing. Yeah, we are ready. Damn, mic was not working, so I wanted to do a Mike M's Weekly Reads because I got a lot of things going on this weekend and might not be able to record. So I gotta turn the volume off on the TV and I'm gonna record a short one. And I'm gonna still try to get 2 weeks worth of books in there because I really wanna catch up. And I'm almost in 2018. Can you believe it? A few things. Man, that was like 4 months ago, maybe two. Maybe it was two or three. Let's say two. I had a podcast and I started talking about how I'm gonna cut back. Well, my support group failed me because I'm back where I started. I'm getting everything, and not only did I go back to my normal spending habits, but the things that I did say I wasn't going to get, I ended up buying at the store or online and filling the gaps. So I'm weak. I'm weak. But you know what? I feel better. So that's what matters. Plus, it's my birthday month, so fuck it. So, there's that. I try to cancel some Marvel, thinking I'd go to Marvel Unlimited. And Marvel Unlimited is interesting because it's causing me to buy more. And I guess I don't feel bad because I talked to Aaron Myers, if you haven't listened to Mike M's Collector's Corner. He said he started reading things digitally, like Walking Dead, and that's what got him back into comics. And then he actually bought a full run of Walking Dead. The only thing that's different between him and me is he's able to part with it. Like, he got a Walking Dead 1 and he was able to part with it, which makes total sense. But in my case, I don't have Walking Dead number 1. I came on to Walking Dead very late, which is very, very weird because I love zombies. I've seen all of the Romero films, I watch a lot of zombie films. I was buying zombie comics. For some reason, every time I try to cut, it's always an Image and Marvel, and I don't know why, but those are usually the companies I pick on the most. And I can't figure myself out. Maybe you can. But it is like my next purchases are going to be based on what I read already. And that is like a weird collector's mentality. Like, I already have access to these, but I'm reading Generation X again. And I have like 1 through 20 straight. And then for some reason I dropped off. And then I got back on. And then I dropped off. And then I got back on again. But my next, mycomicshop.com, at least the one that's in the queue, I have one that's arriving, and I'm not going to talk about what I'm getting in that particular box until I get it. But I am going to say that my next target is trying to fill a lot of those Generation X books. And man, is that book just spectacular. I remember when it first came out, I like really liked the writing, but I didn't like Bacallo's artwork. And how times have changed. I didn't used to like guacamole, and now I love guacamole. There's several other things that I never used to like, and now I like. I was even late to the party. Like, those of you that know me know I love Jack Kirby, but I didn't really like grow a passion for Jack Kirby until my college years. And that's when I went out and bought all of the DC Fourth World stuff and everything. But sometimes I'm late to the party, and it's because at the time I don't appreciate it, but later on in life my eyeballs change, my emotions change, a lot of things change. And I was thinking recently, like, why did I quit Gotham by Geeks? What was the main driving factor? And I think what it was me. The show always was the show, but what was happening at that time was work was killing me, and it influenced a lot of like what my decisions were at that time. Now I'm a little more comfortable where I'm at. I had switched jobs, and it had a ramification on me because I had a huge learning curve. I used to be an expert in the areas that I was in, and now I wasn't anymore, and I had to ramp up, and I'm starting to get comfortable now with it. So that's probably the main reason I quit Gotham by Geeks. I just didn't have the time, and when I did have the time, I wasn't enjoying it as much, like reading the Batman comics or the older stuff, because I was thinking about other things, like the future. But I don't know. Strange how I went into that tangent. The other thing that I just read recently, which I'm disappointed in, and I understand it, but I think the people that would buy this hardcover would understand history. Blacks were not portrayed very well in comics in the 40s and the 30s and the 50s. Still, you could still make the argument they're not treated fairly now, in my opinion. But they decided not to to put together the Shazam Monster Society of Evil because of the way blacks are portrayed. And you'll hear this like in Spirit, like when Will Eisner did the Spirit, he had a sidekick. I can't remember his name now, but he was very controversial. A matter of fact, it was so controversial, it caused rifts between my podcast friends and other podcast friends because of statements that were made and things that were going on at the time. And I think that one of those rifts between my two friends still exists today because of the Spirit. So yeah, it's interesting. When I read those comics though, I don't look at them from, they are racist. I understand that. But it also is history, and it makes you aware of how bad it was. I would have wanted them to publish this. For one thing, it historically makes it relevant. I guess when you're a publisher, you think, well, if people read this today and don't understand what it was in the past, then it will seem like it's really racist. But I think the people in the audience that would be buying this particular Shazam book are the people that understand what that was. I think, but you never know. You never know. Because of the movie coming out, it might have also the spirit. That's another thing that I hated when it first came out. And then I changed. I went to the movie by myself to see The Spirit, the Frank Miller's The Spirit. And when I saw it at the theater, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And then many, many years ago, I mean that's when I saw it. And then maybe last year I watched it by myself on cable. Or I had taped it, and I absolutely loved it. So I went and bought the DVD. Yeah, you're like, why do you buy so much goddamn DVDs? Another thing that makes me happy. It makes me happy knowing I have, and I can access it. rather than not having it. And streaming means nothing if it goes away. Doesn't mean shit. There's still a lot of things in streaming you can't see. And you probably will maybe get to see it if you're patient, but it won't always be there. Whereas if I have a working DVD player, I could throw in my Blu-ray and watch The Spirit at any time. When am I going to find time to watch it again for the third time? I don't know. But it's such a comfort knowing I can. It's so weird. I am so fucking weird. I need to live in a warehouse. That's what I've come to the conclusion. I need to just buy a warehouse and say, Barb, we're moving into a warehouse and we're going to have most of it's going to be comics, and then we'll make our bedroom and kitchen here. I don't know. It's all strange. I was going to look up The Spirit because I can't think of his name now. It's driving me crazy. The Spirit comic. Ebony, something. Ebony White, I think, is his name. And, but I want to verify that. Yeah, it's Ebony White. Very racial looking character. And I even talked about on Mike M's Weekly Reads that I bought a replica of Negro Comics, which was a positive portrayal of blacks, and it was written by all African Americans, and there was only one issue of it. It's in the 40s, and they had plans, and it was successful. But the white publishers found out that blacks were writing it, and they put a stop on it, and we never saw number two. And I own a replica. It's a really nice reproduction of the book. But I saw an original at Heroes Con, and it was fucking amazing. And man, if things would be different if Heroes Con was here, because what I would have done is take out a loan to buy that. I would have bought that comic because it's so much historical relevance because it was written by all African American and drawn by them, and it was the first time that would ever happened. And that is amazing, and I would want that. And there's not that many copies that exist. And I would want that. But anyway, Rob Krieger and both of us were going to get the archive, which was the Shazam Monster Society of Evil hardcover, but we just found out from Newsarama today or yesterday that they were going to pull it back because of those racial scenes. Actually, just take it. I don't know if these were published in the Shazam archives, but I don't think they got very far in them. And if I click on that link, it's a cancels plans to do the Shazam Monster Society of Evil. And it would have collected Captain of Marvel Adventures 22 through 46. And I don't think that is collected. They might have a piece of it inside of the 75 years of Shazam or whatever that book that came out of. But I don't think it has that. And the shame of it is we'll never see it. And I think any kind of smart people that read it, that will understand it for what it is. Like, yeah, it's not right, but that's how it was back then in the 40s. And you see that stuff even in film. So, yeah. That's a bummer that they're canceling, but I understand it. instead of DC dealing with the ramifications, they chose not to. But the thing is the only way you could probably read this is like through one of those library feeds where they can print old Captain Marvel comics. Like I did find out that Amazon has some reproduction of old quality, so there may be some old like Fawcett reproduction that they could print old Shazam and Marvel Family comic books. But I haven't really looked much further. I know I can find Police Comics and Plastic Man, so those are available. What else is new? I think that's all I sort of wanted to talk about. And even though I haven't gotten it yet, I wanted to say my brother got me a huge birthday gift, which was uncalled for because we don't usually get each other birthday gifts because we always say we got everything we need, you know, family-wise and stuff, and we treat each other to meals or whatever. But I guess he heard me at the 4th of July. We went down there, and I was talking, man, I would really like to have the first appearance of all the Guardians of the Galaxy, the ones that are in the film, Star Lord, and I have most of them, but I was missing Rocket Raccoon, which is in the Hulk, and Star Lord, which was in a Star Lord magazine. But other than that, I think I have everybody else's appearances. And I have the original Guardians too, so don't worry about that. Like I pay tribute to the original and the new. But I didn't have those two for sure, and I mentioned, man, I really want it, but I don't really want to pay for it. And he bought me a 6.0 Incredible Hulk with the first appearance of Rocket Raccoon. So I haven't gotten it yet, but he has it in his hand, and I imagine I'll get it next time I'm up in Boulder. And I'm very proud to add that to the collection. And I was also, one of the things I've been looking to is trying to get the first appearance of Deadpool. It's so weird that I don't have it, but I have most of the other comics, first appearance Cable and everything around surrounding it, but I don't have the first appearance of Deadpool. And I think that I need to procure it soon, or it's going to be, if I wait too long, it'll crawl up into some higher numbers. It's weird that it is going for so much, though. You're looking at about 300 for this particular book. And it's kind of a lot considering how mass produced that comic was. So that's like my only hesitation in the fact that there's so many other books that I want. But I've been thinking about a lot of key appearances lately. And what you're hearing right now is me getting crushed ice from the fridge. And I'm pouring myself a glass of Arizona green tea. It says it's 0 calories and has ginseng. And I usually do that before the show, and you can hear me drinking constantly, but I forgot. And I want one other thing I wanted to talk about before I forget is, go to the Geek Brunch podcast site, and if you want to listen to Mike M's Collector's Corner, where I interview collectors and people that are real passionate about comics, there's 7 episodes in the can, and one was with Aaron Myers that came out recently, and really good show. All of them have been really good, and some people have asked me, well, where, how do I get these shows? Because they're not all on iTunes. And The way Derek set up the iTunes for me is it'll only display the last 50 episodes. Well, the problem with that is I publish anywhere from 3 to 5 episodes a week, typically. Usually around 3, but it could be more. And that adds up to a 50 really quick. So you won't be able to see Mike M's Collector's Corner 1 through whatever. But if you go to the geekbrunchpodcast.com website, there's a search field in there, and you could type Collector Corner just like that, because I didn't label it all right. But if you type Collector Corner, it will return all the episodes of Mike M's Collector's Corner. And that series, that podcast has been really popular. As far, it's the number one downloaded show on the network. It's been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot because there are a lot of passionate and people that love comics, and they're passionate collectors, and each of us have our own weirdness and collecting habits about us, and that's where you learn a lot about how people collect and what they're passionate about and what their focuses are and how they protect their books. And I encourage you to go to the website and listen to it. If you're on your phone, just go to the website, do the search, and you'll find the episode, and you can play it live, stream it from the website. And I think you'll enjoy them. And like I said, there's 7, and there's an 8 on its way. It's already recorded, and I'm kind of waiting to put it out because the last one just came out earlier this week. Actually, it was late last week. Well, it was earlier this week. If you consider the week starting on Saturday, but so I think that's it. I want to talk about Walmart books again. For those of you that have access to the Walmarts that have them, not you got to remember that not all Walmarts have these books. But I wanted to tell you that those ones that do, it's usually in the collector's aisle, and they do restock. I've been back to the store, and I saw Teen Titans, I saw Superman, Justice League, and Batman's all restocked because I was going to look for the second batch, which should be out this month soon. And I was listening to Comic Talk Today by Martin, and he was saying that I didn't see this scroll by, and I follow Dan DiDio on Facebook. So, but he said that Dan had said he wants to get 3 more books into the 100-page giants, and I guess he's saying that because he's seeing the numbers, and based on the first sale, he thinks he could legitimize getting more out there. But we'll see how that goes. I think they should wait. I think they should wait and see. Wait till they have like 4 books in, like 4 months worth of books to see if it just peters out or if it even gets more popular or stays the same, and go from there. But you see the prices drop on eBay pretty substantially for all the books. Even the Teen Titans one has come down in price. So they're starting to look more like what it's worth. Those that sold it immediately probably made a lot of money, 'cause people just they're like me. They don't want to deal with the stress, and if they pay for it, it saves them gas and then having to go to Walmart, and unless they're already there. But if you have one, or you know someone that has a Walmart, you should ping them and say, "Can you get me these books? And I'll pay for shipping and the cost of the books," and see if they're nice enough to pick you those books up, because they are restocking them. So I wanted to put that out there. And is there anything else other than I am getting, I have almost got caught up with all the CW shows. I'm currently watching Supergirl, and I must say that to me, that is my favorite CW show. If I had to rank them, just the DC proper, not the iZombie, not gonna rank the non-proper CWs, the ones that are linked. I'll even include Black Lightning in there, because even though it's not, it seems like its own world, it's linked in that universe. I'll have to say that Supergirl is my favorite. Legends of Tomorrow is my second favorite. Black Lightning and Arrow are probably tied for third. And then Flash is my last. Even though that last season with Elongated Man was pretty tight, I liked it. And The Thinker, I wasn't crazy about how it all wrapped up, but it reminded me of The Strangers and I dug it. And in Supergirl now, they have the Legion of Superheroes with Mon-El, Brainiac, and Saturn Girl. And I am digging the hell out of that. And I really like the way they're portraying Alex this season. I don't know. There's just something about her. She's really, really grown on me as a character. And I look forward to more of her. So Supergirl is really done wonders for me, even though I still have a ways to go. I think I'm about 8 episodes out. I watched one just before the show because I have been getting on the elliptical again, and I've been trying to do, if I could get my ass out of bed a little earlier, I could do like a half hour, but I've been only doing 20 minutes in the morning. I take Harley for a walk, listen to podcast, and then usually come home. Today I didn't, but I usually take her for a second one. And today it looked like rain, so I didn't go. And we go about a little over a mile and listen to another podcast. And man, you know what I have learned? And I don't know if this is everybody's experience, but it seems like, at least with the podcasts I listen to, they're very top loaded on a Monday. Like everything is rise. Boom, 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 boom. And that usually lasts me until Wednesday or Thursday, because there are several hours. You know, if you add them all up, they're, you know, probably have like 5 hours, and then they trickle in, and I almost run out between Friday and Sunday, and I'm still doing the walks and still doing the things where I would be listening to podcasts like Clean House and such, and I have explored a little bit. I found a couple other things. I have been listening to some podcasts I don't normally listen to, and I still haven't found like something that has become a regular part of what I listen to, but I have found podcasts I enjoy to keep the momentum going throughout the week. And then sometimes I don't have to worry because, like, comic book page will have like the preview spotlight. That's like 3 hours, and then they have the Mayo Report, which talks about comics, and the Mayo Report, which talks about trades. When those ones hit, they usually hit, and then I'm covered. But because it usually hits within the same week or close to it. So, yeah. All right, so let's get into some comic books. And I don't even know if I've totaled all these. So we got 19. That's a total of 20 if I counted that right. Man, there's a fly here. It's just pissing me off. All right, so we're in November, and there are a lot of comic books. This is 11/20 through 11/26. I think that included Thanksgiving, so I probably read a lot. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s. Well, we had a total of 35 comics, And we had one Valiant, one Titan, 15 Marvel, one Kickstarter. I didn't. They probably have a name, but I usually just call Kickstarters. Unless it's like Paper Films by Jimmy Palmiotti, because they clearly have their icon there, and I know what it is. But sorry about that. One of the things that caused me to buy more comics too, I'm just gonna throw this out there, was Marvel had a top secret book for 3 months, and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was gonna be like an X-Men Black or an X-Men book, like Uncanny X-Men, they're relaunching it or something to that effect. So I pre-ordered it. Didn't know what it was going to be. It turned out to be Mr. and Mrs. X, which is Rogue and Gambit. So it caused me to go back and pick up Rogue and Gambit, which was a 5-issue series. I still haven't picked up five, but I think five is on its way for mycomicshop.com. But what I'm getting at is I did start reading it and it was really good. So it's by Kelly Thompson and Pierre Perez, and I was really surprised how much I enjoyed it, and I was glad I picked it up, and I'm looking forward to delving in that. And I'm going to keep it definitely on my pull list, even though it wasn't what I expected it to be. But let's go back and we had 35 comics, one Valiant, one Titan, 15 Marvel, one Kickstarter, 5 Image, and 12 DC. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s, which mean I liked it. There wasn't anything I didn't like. But at the bottom, we had DC House of Horror number 1. This is one of those like 100-page giant $9.99 comics. The best horror story was the Harlequin construction worker story. There's the Bruce Wayne Batman and a Two-Face Leviathan story. Didn't really write much other than that, other than my favorite story was the Harlequin one. We then get into God Complex, Dogma 1 and 2, and I. When I read this, I thought it was the Avatar one. They have a God, I think it's God Complex or God something or another. And I couldn't remember what company it was, so I had to look it up. It was an Image book. And I didn't continue with this one, believe it or not. Even though I kind of liked it. It was in the future. A police officer is trying to find out who murdered three church acolytes. Seems that the police force is run by a Greek god, like humans with mechanical helmets on their heads, but they believe this cop is something. Like they believe that he is the, like some kind of next step of evolution. His partner is killed, and his girlfriend appears to be part of the coup, which is to overthrow those gods. May not continue with this one. I just wrote that because maybe there was something missing. Don't know. What I do know is. I could have been kind of grouchy that month because this is near the time I started my new job. We then get into Invader. This is fantastic. This is a good example of how perspective can change and mood can affect your reading. That's why I've always said I'm a mood reader. I try to optimize what I'm reading. And I think what I did is I opened up my iPad in the middle of the night, and during this time frame I've been really stressed. My mind was racing, racing, racing at night. It was hard for me to get asleep. So you see a lot of midnight reads on the digital platform. But I read Invaders Volume 1, which the Invaders joined forces in one of Namor's ships to go over to London and help the Allies. They take down a lot of German fighter planes with the help of the British. Their ship is shot down as they go on a mission to return a woman who has no memories, and they run into German gods. I reread this. Okay, I bought a full run. Well, I was missing one issue. I think it was 12, but I'm gonna send out another thank you to Reed, because he replaced this book that I was missing in the Invaders collection with one out of his personal collection. And get this, this book is even more special because this came out of Reed's collection and it was purchased off the spinner rack by him. That's pretty special, and now it's in my collection. Every time I buy comics that are old, I always think about, like, I just sit there and I was like, I wonder how many hands this has went through. I wonder who sat and enjoyed this book as much as I'm enjoying it. I wonder how many people loved it. I wonder how many people read it and weren't crazy about it. I always think about, like, where the history of this book came from, and I'll never know most cases. But this particular case with Invaders number 1, volume 1, I know where it came from. It came from Reed's collection, and it came from him going to the store and getting it off the spinner rack. And I rated this first one, I read it digitally, a 3 out of 5. And I swear to you, I read it just a week ago, and I gave it a 5 out of 5. It read so much better in paper. And my mood was better, and I don't know, it was a fun read. So here it was a 3 out of 5, it became a 5 out of 5. We have Titans 14 and 16. This is the current stuff. Tempest has 3 Atlantean sources come after him and the Titans. Nightwing is running a test to see who's going to betray the team, because if you remember last time, what's her name? The Oracle Girl. Lilith? I can't remember her name. She found out from Simon that there was a Teen Titan that was gonna betray them. And so Nightwing is running a test to see who's going to betray the team and finds out it is him, but does not tell the rest of the Titans. They find out he betrayed the Titans. Mal and Gronk get assimilated into the Hive. You know who Mal is? He's Bumblebee's husband, and he was an original Teen Titans back in the 70s. And Gronk got worried there. My screen went blank, but it just went to sleep. Gronk was also an original Titan. And he was a unique guy because he was like a caveman. He was like a Neanderthal and a tracker. But they're assimilated into the Hive. It appears that the main villain is Troia, who's Donna Troy's alias. And in this particular book, I wrote Wally West dies. And I think this is not. There's two Wally Wests in the world. It's not the TV show Wally West, but it's the Wally West that had his phenomenal run with Messner-Loebs and Geoff Johns and everybody before Flashpoint. We have a Death Sentence number 5. This is a disease is sexually transmitted in the guy in London. Because the Alpha spreads it, the disease takes over England. The U.S. takes notice and sends a team of, I think it was just two people, to try to take out this rock and roll guy who basically took over everything. Death Sentence was pretty phenomenal series from Titan, and I'd encourage you to check it out. There's two volumes. This was the first volume, and in the next set of books, you'll see that I read 4 because it was out of order because I didn't order it, but I placed an order to my comic shop and then reread it, reread 4 out of sequence. Right, we have Void Trip number 1. This is a what if Cheech and Chong were in the Star Wars universe, and I sort of enjoyed this one. I gave it a 4 out of 5. We have Flash 165, Volume 2. We're talking about Wally West. Wally does not have powers and is in jail, but Captain Cold breaks him out as they try to figure out on this backwards world what is happening on this backwards world they are on. All speedsters never existed on this world, and it has Plunder and Thinker Star. And we just talked about the Thinker on the TV show. This was read, if I remember correctly, digitally, because I had bought the trade of Geoff Johns. I own the original issues, but having it digitally and reading in the middle of the night, was reading the Geoff Johns Flash arc again. What else we got? Teen Titans number 14. Kid Flash rejoins as the team as they work with Emmy, Red Arrow to take down Onomatopoeia. And I didn't spell it right because that's a damn hard word to spell. If I remember correctly, Onomatopoeia was created by Kevin Smith back in the Green Arrow run. So, I could be wrong on that. He might have existed before, but that's what I remember him from. We have Spider-Man Unlimited number 8. This was being read out of the Omnibus. I don't think I own it. This is the individual issue. Both Spider-Man have to take down a Terror Unlimited, a terrorist group who has seized the Twin Towers and have Mary Jane hostage. That's interesting. It's the Twin Towers, which were destroyed in 9/11. Ben loses a man he saved in a previous issue. So that is Ben Reilly. This is the Clone Saga book that I was reading in omnibus form. We have Batman 333 and 335. I think I read this for Gotham by Geeks, but I can't be 100% sure because I did read things out of order. And sometimes I read things planning for Gotham Geeks and then didn't make it. So I can't remember if I covered this on Gotham by Geeks, but it sure sounds like it. Talia leads Batman to China, but is really setting him up for Ra's al Ghul. She is aging fast and needs a Lazarus pit. Batman has to join the League, or Ra's al Ghul will kill King Faraday, Robin, and Catwoman, who have been captured. It has a backup with Robin and Catwoman, Commissioner Gordon, and Jason Bard, who was part of Detective Comics back in the day. And he played in Batman and Robin. I can't remember if it was Batman or the Weekly series. I can't remember what it's titled now. But anyway, Jason Bard is the detective. He has a handicap. As they find out who burned down a woman's building, and the insurance company will not help because they think she burned it down. And then Batman fights Ra's al Ghul and dumps him in the Lazarus pit twice. First time comes out mad and on fire, and the second time causes the whole island to blow up. Talia leaves Bruce because she is now aging without her father's help. So she looks really old and really bad in this series. Really cool series. Give it a 4 out of 5. Captain America number 1, volume 1 from 1940s. This is available on Marvel Unlimited. This is probably a book I will never own. If I do own it, it will probably be in a Marvel archive. But this is the origin of Captain America. Another story where these two guys who predict the future about explosions are working for the Nazis are taken down by Cap and Bucky. It has a prose story about some gangsters that are trying to poison soldiers at one of the forts. The Red Skull is really a corporate airplane Nazi sympathizer who would hypnotize his prey. Red Skull kills himself, and Cap lets him. A story about Mercury knockoff named Hurricane. What I mean about Mercury, like the god of Mercury, but his name is Hurricane, who takes down Pluto, and a story of prehistoric kid who is raised by Neanderthals. And what is really nice about this digital copy is it has those backup stories. So if you actually buy the archive, or is that what they're called? Is the DC archives or Marvel Why am I blanking out on them? Marvel. I can't think of the name they use. Milestones or. I can't think of it. But if you buy that, you'll just get the Cap story. You wouldn't have gotten the story of Hurricane or of the prehistoric kid who's raised by Neanderthals. And they're really fascinating stories. The next book is a Kickstarter, and what's interesting about this story is that he currently has another Kickstarter that I supported. So it's a story about an artist that never has an initiative to complete anything. His best friend gets married, and he has to work back with his dad, who loves him very much, but is very concerned. At the wedding, they want him to meet a celebrity woman, and he believes he does and falls in love with her, and it inspires his art, but she is not really there. It's all in his mind. He has to start seeing a psychiatrist, but it does help him kickstart his career and ends up at a Comic-Con. So, this is an interesting story because it has attributes of a character that I find. When you read about a character that, I don't know how to say this without offending people. When you read about some character or some kid that kind of graduates high school and can't find his way and kind of like leeches off his parents for the rest of their time, it upsets me. So I didn't like this guy because I felt that that's what he was. Like he could live with his friends and stuff, but he couldn't find his own way. And he created a reality in his own mind that sort of helped him. Like once his dad was there and he realized that his son was imagining all this shit, the father actually said, "Hey, I'm gonna help you out. You know, I want to. I'll pay for your psychiatrist." And what it did by him doing that is it kind of made his son realize what he could do, and like whether it become a comic artist, he found something that he was passionate about, and he could exist on his own accord. Like he could make his own living without the help of his parents. And I like this series a lot. Even though when the character first was there, he had attributes that I had never appreciated, because I've always thought you could leave the nest and succeed on your own, because that's what your parents, you know, raised you to do, is to find your way. Yeah, you might not have a relationship or a marriage or whatever, but you could find a way to exist and find something that you are good at or that you can do to make a living. So I enjoyed that story. And it was weird because he really thought that this actress was, he fell in love with her, even though she never was really there. It was like he had a split personality, and part of him thought this stuff really existed when in reality it didn't. And it was told really well because his friend, they would have like these things with his friends, and they knew something was going on, but you would never see him and his friends together with the actress. It was always like off panel and when he was at home or something. So nobody knew that this actress existed. We have Evolution Number One, a doctor. This is an image book. A doctor who works at a free clinic is trying to figure out why people are evolving and is instilling his pharmaceuticals. A nun is called into a church for a German guy who's turning into monsters. A third character whose parents owned a movie house is getting ready to sell the films. She takes the old film to an eccentric guy and is attacked by a monster. So there's a lot of stuff happening there, and it was really interesting. We then get into Redlands Number Four, another image book. This one has a witch has to recover from the last issue of being hunted, and one of her sisters is raising an insect as a child and gets flack from the other two sisters. The one that was hurt in the previous issue goes after the missing girl with one of the deputies, and they find her body. So there's like a lot of interesting things on this Redland series. Started off very different. Like, you couldn't predict what was going to happen by reading Redlands number one. It turned out to be something very different, in my opinion, and something for the better, in my opinion. Redlands number one, just reading it as a whole, could have made it iffy for me if whether I continued or not. And then as I read later issues, it just got so good. We have X-Men, Worst X-Men Ever, number 3 through 5. The main character goes to a mutant recruit convention and finds a young lady that is an Alpha X-Men, which is a very powerful one. And as she can bounce people in and out of reality, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants tries to recruit the Worst X-Men Ever. And he's interesting because it's kind of like a satire, but not. It has a serious tones to it. If he ever uses his mutant ability, he'll die. So that's what's interesting about this comic. He'll like blow up, and he really does blow up along with his power. This one I read off of the Marvel Unlimited, and I think I procured him off of mycomicshop.com after I read him, so this is a perfect example. Incredible Hulk 223 through 225. Hulk runs into a couple in the forest and gets angry, but instead of hulking out, he turns back into Bruce, so he thinks he is cured. He gets a plane ride to go back to New Mexico and let everyone know he is cured, but the base has been overrun by the leader. Yep, it's one of the Hulk's villains with the big head. They convince Bruce that he must become Hulk in order to defeat the leader. First, he uses an electronic device to control a robot Hulk, and it looks like he's going to work until the leader crushes it with a huge stilt-like spaceship. And Bruce almost flatlines, and General Ross and Samson have to expose him to gamma rays again to go after the leader. So the thing that's really interesting about this arc is that he sort of became healed for a period of time, and he had to use a robotic Hulk. And Doc Samson, thought he was going good too, but they had to irradiate him with gamma rays again in order to save the base. So, looked like he might be saved, and then it turned out otherwise. So then we get into another Clone Saga arc with a Web of Spider-Man 121, Spider-Man 55, which is the conclusion to the Web of Life story arc, continuing with the Clone Saga. And this was pretty awesome, as the Grim Hunter, Kraven's son, goes after Peter. The Scarlet Spider wants to protect Peter, but then Kane enters. Kane is killing everyone left and right and turns into a three-way fight. It ends up with the death of the Grim Hunter. Didn't last very long, that Kraven's son. And a lot of things have to do, like every time they have. Kraven had died in a J.M. DeMatteis very popular story. And it seems like after that story, what Spider-Man has to deal with is the ramifications of his children and family. And this is part of that. So, what else do we got? We got Amazing Spider-Man 397 and 398, Spectacular Spider-Man 220 and 221. This gets into the 5 out of 5s, okay, from the Clone Saga as well. This was the Web of Death story arc where Spider-Man is dying of the Vulture virus and Doc Ock feels the obligation to save him because he wants to be the one to kill Spidey. So he has to save Spidey to kill Spidey. He's in a relationship with Stunner, and Stunner is hot, and she likes Doc Ock a lot, who is an Amazon-looking woman that likes to destroy stuff. MJ goes back when Pete is dying and says she is pregnant. So Peter's dying, and Peter finds out she's pregnant. Holy shit! So many things going on. She is worried about the baby being mutated. Spidey is saved by Doc Ock, and he gives himself up to the police, and then has Stunner break him out of the armored truck. So Doc Ock, saves Spidey because he was dying because of the vulture virus. And he gives himself up to the police, and then his girlfriend has to break him out. But Kane gets there and gases Stunner and kills Doc Ock. Spidey near death experience when he talks to Aunt May. So there's so many things to love in this arc. That again, that was Amazing Spider-Man 397, 398, Spectacular Spider-Man 220 and 221. We have Jonah Hex, Yosemite Sam, number one. Sam finds gold in an old mine he inherited, and his friends turn on him, the guys that he was with. He has to kill them all and then saves Foghorn Leghorn from drowning. He goes into town to enjoy some food, bath, and women, and brags to the wrong woman who tells the ringmaster of a nearby circus. Sam hires Jonah Hex to protect him. And Foghorn finds out that the circus he belongs to is going to go after Sam, so he goes to warn him. The fight and win, I don't know what I mean right there, but it ends up with Hex rides off into the sunset and getting rich. I think it what I was going to put, they fight, Jonah Hex and Foghorn Leghorn and Yosemite Sam team up to fight the circus guy and his evil circus and end up rich, and then Hex rides off into the sunset. That's what really happened, not what I wrote. We then have Batman number 35. This is Catwoman. This is a Tom King, and I gave it a 5 out of 5. So there you go. And I think after all that's said and done, I think around this time frame is when my opinion starts to change a little bit with Tom King's Batman. But I gave this one a particular 5 out of 5. Superman and Talia fight and discuss their love for Bruce. Amazing how Talia sees him as perfection and Selina as the most flawed, but they truly love him. They both truly love him. Selina gets to talk with Holly. This would be really interesting to go and revisit that discussion and see how 50 turned out. And Dick tells Damien outside why Bruce did not tell them about the proposal. It is because he does not know how to ask for anything. He can only sacrifice. I said it was a perfect story. We have Archer and Armstrong, Volume 1, Number 0. This book is very special to me. I remember being in college and going across the street to the Comic Warehouse, it's their second store, and buying this. This is like I think my first Valiant comic, and it changed a lot of how I felt. It made me go buy all the back issues I didn't have before of Valiant, and to this day I own every single Valiant comic book ever published. So this is what kicked off my love for everything. Archer finds the truth of his parents as they were sexually abusing and killing kids to go out, that go to their church. He knows he has abilities and wants to show his parents, and that is how he discovers this sad fact that they're actually killing kids. They decide they need to kill him and burn down the house, but he escapes, but is taken in for smoke inhalation. So that's Archer's taken in. And then the parents plan on killing him at the hospital, but he escapes and goes east and trains every day to get revenge on his parents. He finds when he gets back, they are both in prison and meets Armstrong, who's being hunted down by an evil sect that thinks he is Satan. Archer believes Armstrong after the skirmish because they actually have a fight. We then get into the number one 5 out of 5 book, and it is Doomsday Clock number one. It's a world after Ozymandias destroyed New York, and he is now wanted. Rorschach seeks out Marionette, who wants to get her husband out of prison to rescue the son, their son from Ozymandias. I can never pronounce Ozymandias, that name very well. They are Harley Quinn and Joker of this world. So, the world is on the brink of a nuclear destruction, and then this Clark and Lois are in bed, and he has a bad dream about the death of his parents, and the real Rorschach is dead in this particular book. So that was November 30th, 2017 through November 26, 2017. Let's jump into the next month real fast. And that's November 27th through December 3rd, 2017. And yeah, we are in 2018. I mean, we made it. And I am gonna catch up. You just watch. We have a total of 20 comic books, one from Titan, one from Marvel, eight from Image, nine from DC, one alternative. We'll start at the bottom. We had Justice League of America Annual number one. Didn't like this one. This is where Lobo recruits Black Canary to save the dolphins before they become extinct. Didn't care for that annual. That means I didn't like it. So we had a 2 out of 5, which is an oddity. We then get into the 3 out of 5s, and we have Green Arrow Annual number one. The Green Arrow finally has to take down Count Vertigo during the holiday season. Sorry, the Green Arrow family, so it includes, his sister and all the other characters have to take down Count Vertigo down the holiday season. We then get into the other 3 out of 5. This is a Batman Annual number two. Shows how the Batman or the Catwoman Batman relationship starts and how it ends with Batman dying of some ailment naturally. They have a daughter, Helena. Brilliant story by Tom King and Lee Weeks, but after the dialogue and the fact that we know how it ends, it bothered me. I think if I read that now, I would give it a 5 out of 5. But I can't tell you that because I haven't reread it. But at that time, I just liked it. I even said that it was a brilliant story, but the dialogue killed me. I don't know if I'm out of that funk yet, but we'll see. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Port of Earth number one. Aliens introduce an energy source from Earth's water. Earth is now a spaceport, but no aliens are supposed to leave the port, but they do, and there are incidents and death. Two guards go on a routine check to find a murderer and find out it is an unauthorized alien. So that's about a spaceport on Earth where aliens go to refuel and get stuff, and things didn't pan out because they left their port and they're not supposed to. We have Death Sentence number four. This is the one I told you about that I read out of sequence. The pop star in London, it has taken over London with the sexual disease that gives him powers. The U.S. needs to act, so they train two powered individuals, the artist and a rock star, to go after him. So there's a pop star, a rock star, and an artist. The female's the artist. We have Aquaman Annual number one. Black Mercy Plant holds Arthur and Mara as they imagine the future of Atlantis, where they are at peace and have a son. Merc helps him realize it is not real. Merc is that big guy that's an armored guy that's the, soldier. We have Sensational She-Hulk number one. She-Hulk is captured by the Ringmaster in the Circus of Crime as they were hired to test She-Hulk's strength. And they use her to their advantage as they rob patrons. And that's like in the circus. She comes out of her spell thanks to one of the headmen who are behind the whole scheme. We then get into DC Comics Presents 61. This is Superman and Omak, one of my favorite characters, as Omak is a murder mech droid in the future. The murder mech droid goes to the past to kill distant relative of Buddy Blank. Oh, he's Omak is after the murder mech droid in the future, and that mech droid goes to the past to kill a relative of Buddy Blank, so he is never created. They manage to save the wrong guy, but the janitor is saved, who is a distant relative. Brother I is able to get Omak back to the future. I believe there was a cartoon in the Justice League cartoon about this, and that's one of the comments I made. We have Savage Dragon number 12 through 18. I read this in a digital DC archive. I do own the originals. I own every single Savage Dragon comic book, individual comics. I don't own all the variant editions, but I do own these. I will say that I gave it the top 4 out of 5, and it's damn good, but it does suffer a little bit being black and white because Savage Dragon, in my eyes, is meant to be color. Maybe if I read it in black and white first, before I knew the color existed, I would feel otherwise. But since I already knew in my mind what the colors added to this story, it changed my view of this particular comic book, even though I give it a 4 out of 5. She-Dragon enters the main title, and the Wildcats go after Mighty Man. Freak Force to the rescue. Star and Dragon hunt down a murderer. Dragon gets a leech that controls him, and almost kills Alex. That's the cop. Him and Rapture are getting it on a lot. What I mean there is they're having sex a lot. People want him to leave, and the newspaper guy goes after him with the Dragon Slayer. Very much like J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider Slayer. I took note of that. It was like a tribute to that. Fiend takes control of the mother of the and daughter who was sleeping with the dragon, and she goes after Dragon with so much hate. She-Dragon is watching and seems possessed by something. The Vicious Circle finds that detective faked his own death, and he is alive. So that was Savage Dragon's cop friend. We have the 5 out of 5s. We have Batman the Shadow 1 through 4. There are murders of good people in Gotham. Batman thinks it is the Shadow, but it is not. The Stag is committing these murders and teams up with the Joker to take down a third person who is destined to become the Shadow, and that is Batman. So Batman's destined to become the Shadow. That's what made this really interesting. Batman is stabbed by the Stag, and the blade will not let him heal, but he suits up and tries to find the Stag. It may be more than one person, along with the Shadow. Shadow claims that it was Ducard and many others who trained Batman throughout time. And then we get into alternative comic. I think I didn't count this one. Oh yeah, I did. It's Slasher number 5. I believe it's the last issue. She is being hunted down by the police and decides to go back home. While on her roof and the authorities below, she takes a knife and pulls out her intestines in front of them. So that is the last of this episode. Again, the top books were from this particular week, Batman and Shadow 1 through 4 from DC slash Dynamite and Slasher number 5 from Alternative Comics. And then from the previous week, the 5 out of 5s were Amazing Spider-Man 397, 398, Spectacular Spider-Man 220, 221, Jonah Hex, Yosemite Sam number 1, Batman number 35, Archer and Armstrong volume 1 number 0, and Doomsday Clock number 1 from DC Comics. I want to thank you all for listening. I really, really appreciate it. And please send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can send me questions, comments, anything that you heard about the show that you want to comment on. Please do that through email at mike@comicbooknoise.com, or you can send me a Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch and let me know that way. And again, thanks for listening. If you get a chance and you are on iTunes, leave an iTunes review for the shows. It would be really appreciated. And I think that's it. I want you all to have a wonderful night, and I will talk to you again next episode. Thanks for bearing with me. Bye-bye. So I just have to hit stop now.